Well, good afternoon, family, and welcome to 60 for 60 at noon. My name is Apostle Prophet Ava Bethel, and we are grateful that you have joined us today. 60 for 60 is an initiative that's designed to compel men and women into a minimum of 60 minutes with God each day. And so we break that hour down into three increments of 20 minutes. We pray 20 minutes at 5 a.m. corporately on this line, and we pray 20 minutes at noon. We're here today corporately again. And then we pray 20 minutes on our own before the day ends. And so the goal is not only increased time in prayer, but the goal is increased spiritual government. We're building consistency and alignment and endurance in prayer so that our lives are not led by crisis, but our lives are led by communion. We're training the soul to submit, right? We're training the spirit to stay engaged with God at all times, because what is not practiced will not be sustained. Now, this morning, for those of you that were there with us this morning, we focus on obedience in motion. We looked at the principle that deliverance and clarity are often attached to movement. In the book of Luke, when Jesus addressed the lepers, he gave them an instruction that required them to go. And scripture says, as they went, they were cleansed. The cleansing was connected to obedience that moved. It was not received by just discussion alone. It was not received by analysis. It was received by submission that was expressed in action. And so we establish that obedience is not proven by just our intention alone. Obedience is proven by response. And so this afternoon, we're staying with obedience again, because obedience must be reinforced if it is going to become a lifestyle. We are shifting from movement, though, to pressure. Movement proves whether you will obey when you must act. Pressure proves whether you will obey when you must endure. So today we're going to deal with obedience under pressure. We are addressing obedience in suffering. We are addressing spiritual agreements and the redemption of creation. And we are also confronting a pattern that weakens us as believers. And the pattern is when pain becomes a governing voice in our lives and prayer is just reduced to a crisis response. For those that are able to write on today, I am going to move quite quickly, but thank God we have the replay so that you can go back. Whatever you didn't catch, you can go back and you can listen again. Point number one today is obedience is learned, okay? Obedience is learned. Suffering is one of its classrooms, okay? Obedience is learned, and suffering is one of its classrooms. Hebrews states that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. It reveals that obedience is not validated, again, by just the intent of our heart. It is formed under pressure, right? It is not a natural ease. It is spiritual formation. Suffering activates the voice of the flesh. Did you hear that? Suffering is going to activate the voice of the flesh. The flesh begins to argue for its self-preservation. Right? The flesh is going to be able to argue so it can self-rule, so that it can have self-pity. The issue is not that the flesh speaks. The issue is when the flesh becomes the highest authority in our decision-making. And so the goal of this training is not to make you comfortable with pain. No, the goal is to produce fluency in your surrender. When the body is loud, the spirit must remain anchored. Did you hear that? When your flesh is crying out for its own way, your spirit has to anchor you. When your emotions are surging, your convictions must remain settled. And so suffering exposes what is actually ruling you. It reveals whether you obey only when God's will aligns with your preferences, or whether you obey no matter the circumstance, right? no matter what you're experiencing at this moment. Job is going to be our case study today. Job's words expressed real loss and human grief, and God interrupts his conversation, and he does not deny Job's pain. He reorders Job's perspective. He confronts Job with questions about lightning and seas and stars and gates and the architecture of the world. God is restoring hierarchy, and he's reminding Job that creation answers to God, even when life feels unanswered to man. And so at noon, this is our lesson. Your emotions may accurately describe what happened, but your emotions are not authorized to interpret what it means. Interpretation belongs to God. So point number one for us today is obedience is learned and suffering is one of its classrooms. Number two, the enemy's strategy is not only to wound you, it is to enthrone the wound. The enemy's strategy, he does not just want to wound you. He wants to enthrone that wound over and above obedience. When Satan aims to derail your destiny, he often begins with narrative, with a story. He tries to persuade you that your pain is more authoritative than God's power and that your problem is more exceptional than God's promise. And so acknowledging pain is not the danger. No. Exalting pain is the danger. Exaltation belongs to worship alone. And what you exalt becomes your reference point. Did you hear that today? Did you hear that? What you exalt will always become your reference point. So it becomes the lens through which you judge people, which you judge seasons, and even God himself. Even God himself. So when pain is enthroned, what does it produce? It's going to produce three outcomes. I want you to write this down so you'll remember it. When pain is enthroned, it's going to produce isolation. When you begin to believe nobody can understand you, they don't get it, then you stop receiving help. It produces isolation in you and me, okay? Another thing that pain is going to produce, it's going to produce entitlement. You begin to treat suffering as permission to disobey. The last thing it's going to produce, it's going to produce interpretive error. You're going to begin to assume that what you feel is what God meant. And this is why suffering must be commonized without being minimized. Commonizing is not denying something. It is refusing the lie that pain is proof of abandonment. It is refusing the belief that your suffering is so unique that obedience becomes unreasonable. And so Scripture testifies that suffering is not rare. Paul names he was beat, he was in shipwrecks, he was in danger, he was betrayed, he experienced deprivation. Elijah believed he was alone, but God informed him, look, Elijah, thousands have not bowed to Baal. God wasn't shaming Elijah. God was breaking the illusion of isolation. He was breaking the illusion that he was the only one because loneliness makes deception easier to accept. So point number two for us today is the enemy's strategy. He does not just want to wound you. He wants to enthrone your wound above obedience. Point number three. Heaven listens to words. Heaven listens to your words, but so does hell. And both listen to your conviction. I hope you heard that. Heaven is listening to your words, but so is hell. And both are listening to your conviction. We must speak, and when we speak, we got to speak with weight. Weight is not the volume of your voice. Weight has to do with the conviction under authority. So what you need to understand is words are not merely sound. Words function as spiritual, legal language. Angels are going to respond to aligned speech, but demons are going to exploit your careless speech. Principalities are going to track patterns because patterns reveal the covenants and the agreements that we are in. And so this is why cycles repeat. They repeat with new scenery, but they're going to repeat. New scenarios, but they're going to repeat. It is not always because the enemy is so creative. No, it is often because an agreement has never been revoked. And so a person can confess truth and remain bound if their internal conclusion contradicts their confession. So the mouth says one thing, trust says another. The spirit realm is going to recognize the difference. So at noon, we've got to correct this. We withdraw agreement from any narrative that insists we must live beneath what hurt us. We are not pretending it did not happen, no, but we are going to reject its claim to define the rest of our life. Point number four, and then I'm done. I'll finish in the morning. Scripture treats, point number four is this, altars, priesthoods, and dedications are real. Locations can carry history. Altars, priesthoods, and dedications are real. Locations can carry history. Scripture treats places as spiritual significance. The ark in Obed-Edom's house affected the environment. Covenant presence produced increase. That was government. Altars operate as systems. A system includes what? A priest, a sacrifice, a deity, terms, and gatekeepers. Let me say that one more time. Altars operate as systems, and a system is going to include a priest, a sacrifice, a deity, terms, and gatekeepers. People move into new spaces, and they assume that they are only entering a structure. Sometimes they are entering an agreement that they did not initiate, and that is why some experience unusual oppression and confusion and sickness or collapse after entering a territory. This is not permission for us to fear. What it is an invitation to discernment and lawful prayer. Creation is not inert in Scripture. The earth opened its mouth. The land reacts to sin. Sabbath was established not only for people, but also for land. And so what we have to understand is that God's judgments and God's law include the ground. I'll get into this more in the morning, but what we need to understand is redemption is not only about human souls. Redemption is also concerning creation's order. I'm getting ready to pray, but if you heard the word of the Lord on today about obedience under pressure, I want you to take a moment. We've addressed obedience in suffering. We just addressed spiritual agreements and redemption of creation. We're getting ready to pray into this for a few moments, and I hope you'll join us in the morning so we can finish the matter. But I want you to think about and really process through what was said to you on this afternoon. I want you to think about how you've seen suffering in the past. I want you to think about and process through spiritual agreements that you made with your words ignorantly. I want you to think about that redemption is not just for you, but also for creation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you at noon, and we come before you, O God, with reverence, because we know that your presence is here with us on today. We thank you, God, for the clarity that you have given us through your word. We acknowledge your sovereignty over our bodies. our minds, our homes, our histories. God, we acknowledge your sovereignty even over our land and our future. We refuse today, we refuse every narrative that exalts pain above your power. We refuse every interpretation that treats suffering as evidence that you are absent in our life. And we submit our understanding and our conclusions and our emotions to your Lordship today. We repent for every agreement with despair. We repent for every agreement with self-pity. We repent for bitterness that has tried to sanctify itself through our memory. We repent for accusation, both against ourselves and against you. We repent for rehearsing trauma until it became a belief system. We repent for forming identity around hurt instead of forming identity around your word and your presence. Father, we pray, God, on today that you would expose the places where we have allowed the flesh to lead us. We pray that you would expose the places where we have treated emotion as our final authority. We pray that you would expose the private negotiations that we have made with disobedience. We pray that you would expose the delays we have called wisdom when they really were fear. Expose partial surrender, Father, that preserved our control. Bring correction without condemnation. Bring clarity today without confusion. Bring conviction that is without shame. We declare today that obedience is being formed in us. We declare that obedience will not remain a vocabulary word, but it will be our posture forever. We declare that suffering will not produce bitterness in us. It will produce maturity. It will produce endurance. It will produce spiritual intelligence. It will produce stability in us. We declare today that the Holy Spirit is tutoring us through our surrender, and we will not resist your instruction. Father, we ask for grace to pray more earnestly in agony. We reject spiritual silence in pressure. We reject withdrawal when we are wounded. We reject isolation that makes us vulnerable to deception. We reject the impulse to interpret suffering without submitting our interpretation to your sovereignty. And we declare, Lord God, on today that our pain will not become our throne. Your presence will remain our throne room. In the name of Jesus, we withdraw agreement from every familiar cycle. We withdraw agreement from repeated patterns that keep replaying across seasons. We withdraw agreement from any altar that has demanded our appetites, our emotions, our sexuality, our finances, our marriages, our sleep, our minds, our children, our destiny. We renounce illicit covenants, oh God, dedications, and spiritual terms that were spoken over us, around us, or through us. By the blood of Jesus, we declare that every illegal claim is canceled. We declare that the blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It speaks mercy where condemnation has tried to govern. It speaks cleansing where guilt has remained. It speaks deliverance where bondage has lingered. It speaks adoption where rejection has tried to brand us. It speaks restoration where loss has tried to define us. And Father, your blood, it speaks rightful ownership because we belong to you. We silence every voice of accusation. We silence every voice of torment on this line. We silence the voice of inherited bondage. We silence the voice of fear that exaggerates our pain and diminishes promise. We silence the voice of fatalism that says patterns cannot change. We denounce that in Jesus' name. And we declare that obedience is not optional, but it is our forever posture. We thank you that you are the Lord over every area in our life, our bodies, our homes, every room, every bed, over our dreams, over our phones, over our conversation, and over our decisions. You are Lord. over our finances, over our relationships, even over our travel, our schedules, our children, our ministries, our businesses, over our assignments. We declare that our territory will not be normalized by spiritual warfare and interference. But we declare today that our atmosphere, Lord God, is conducive for a spirit move, even under pressure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And come on and agree today with God and say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. We'll finish the conclusion of the matter in the morning at 5. Amen. But I will open the line up for you today to respond to what you heard the Lord say directly to you. The line is now open for you to come.
Grace and peace, everyone. This is P.I.T. Cameron. When you said, when we speak, we move, we got to speak with weight, and that not only God hears us, but the enemy hears us too. It set for me even more of a, what's the word I'm looking for? More of a care, more of a, even in my looseness speech, even what I say just, you know, casually, to be mindful even of that, because it's being heard on both ends. And so I thank you for that, because that stuck out with me so strongly, because I do say that a lot, very loosely, just talking like whatever, casually, but no. When I speak, it should never be just casual. It should be with weight. So thank you for that.
Hey, amen. I'm glad that you mentioned that. When you start growing in Christ, you realize, for those of you that may have your line unmuted, I want you to go ahead and mute it. When you realize, or when you start growing in Christ, I'll wait until the mute, because I want to make sure that you all hear this. As you grow in Christ, right, just think about how you matriculate through school, right? For some of us, we went to maybe preschool, you know, we went to Montessori school or wherever we went, and then we started to matriculate. We went to kindergarten first, right? And so as you are matriculating through your journey with God, you're growing. And you start at a very young age, and I'm not talking about your physical age, but you start at a young age in Christ, and you're supposed to grow. Now, for some of us, although we may have been in church many years, we're still very, very young in God, because we've not matured in certain areas. As you mature, you understand that there is no such thing as being casual. You understand that you have to walk circumspectly, meaning you have to measure your steps. Everything you say, everything you do has to be measured and calculated, because you realize that this is not a casual walk. You don't get to live your life and be in God too. It's either you're going to live how you want to live, or you're going to live how Christ wants to live. There's no in between. You're either fully in or fully out, right? But for many people, they don't see their life with Christ that way. They see their own lives that they have free will, so they can do whatever they want. But even with a will, God says, submit your will to me, right? Your life is a living sacrifice. You have to sacrifice your life to Christ. You got to give it back to him. So it's either you're going to be ruled by you're going to be casual and just, oh, because you can, you say, and you can. The Bible tells us, and Paul tells us, hey, everything is profitable. I mean, everything is, there's some things in life that's just not expedient. You can do it. Everything is lawful. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But everything is not expedient. It's not profitable. You can say it because you have free will. You can say it because you're an adult. But if that's how you think, ask God to mature you in a way where you don't say things casually, but you say things that are going to produce a weight in the spirit. Amen. Thank you for coming forth, PIT Cam. Anyone else on this afternoon that would like to come forth? I'm giving a little bit more time because sometimes people are in different places in their job and they have to maybe run into a hallway to be able to speak. But if there's anyone that's here that wants to respond to what they heard on today, God always requires a response. You can come forth at this time. Amen. Well, we thank you for joining us today here at 60 for 60 at noon. We want to encourage you, hey, listen, get your 20 minutes in with God later on today before your head hits the pillow. Spend time with your Father. Amen. Put your ear to his mouth and let him speak to you on this evening. So don't forget to get that in. Even if you reach your 60 minutes, hey, it's not about the 60 minutes. And it's about really pressing into the Spirit of God and however long he wants to spend with you, stay with the Lord, amen, and let him build you up. We love you here at Scent Miami. Thank God for this initiative. We want to encourage you, for those that are new, for those that, you know, you've been here, you know that you can go to the website, but for those that are new, we do record the majority of these prayer sessions every single day. Some of them we've missed, but for the majority, they're all there on the website. So you can go there, www.scentmiami.com. Click on the More button, and you'll see 60 for 60. Go right there, and you can listen back to the replays. We do ask that you give about 24 hours before you look for the new ones, but they'll be up, and you can go back, and you can revisit prayers, you know, the teachings. You know, it's good for us to go back and rehearse what God has spoken through our leaders or, you know, wherever we're getting our teaching from. Also, we want to invite all of you out to our third year anniversary, which is happening on February the 15th, Sunday, February 15th at 5 a.m. We want to encourage you and invite you out on that morning to be with us, not only to celebrate 3 years of establishment, 3 years of apostolic work, 3 years of movement, 3 years of obedience to the Lord, but also we're going to do it the apostolic way, amen, which is we are ordaining on that day. We're ordaining two beautiful vessels that are being set in the office of an elder, a pastor. And so that is in the person of PIT Renita Smith and also PIT Cameron Watson. It's happening on this Sunday. Amen. This is the appointed time. This is the appointed hour, amen, of their ordination. And they've been in training for almost a year and a half. Now, training doesn't stop. We're always students, right? But foundationally, there's something that's been built in both of them, and we thank God that he is releasing them, and we're going to lay hands, and we're just going to affirm what God has already ordained in the heavens. We are going to pronounce the pastoralship over them, and we want you to be a witness with us. So come out on the 15th and be with us in celebration, but in worship before the God of heaven. Amen. And what's going on in heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It'll happen on this Sunday, February 15th at 5 a.m. All right, we're going to let you go. We hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, your Monday, and we'll hope to hear you back here on Tuesday at 5 a.m. We love you, and we bid you more grace.
More grace.
More grace. You too.